Welcome to the Truth and Liberty broadcast. We believe we have a mandate to bring godly change to our nation and the world through the seven spheres or mountains of influence. To further this cause, we give away a product every week that will empower you to get involved in changing your life and changing our world. You can register for our weekly giveaway by subscribing at truthandliberty.net. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to receive weekly updates on guests, news, and much more. This is an interactive live cast, and we welcome your questions. To ask a question during the live cast, use the comment or chat features. Now, get ready to dive into this week's topics with our hosts on location in Colorado, USA.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight on the Truth and Liberty live cast. I'm Richard Harris, and I'm just really excited about tonight's live cast. I'm joined tonight by the amazing Karen Conrad. Karen's with us remotely tonight from Minnesota. Karen, thanks for helping out tonight.
Thank you. It's always such an honor to be here. Thank you.
Karen is one of the board members and actually one of the founders of the Truth and Liberty Coalition. In fact, when I first started with Truth and Liberty, she was my boss. So it's awesome to have you back with us. And our guest tonight is one of my dearest friends, Alex McFarland. And Alex, so I'm going to give you a proper introduction later, but it's really good to have you with us too.
God bless you both.
Well, Karen's got some amazing information to share with all of you tonight and how you can be a part and participate in this show. And we really encourage you to do that. So I'm just going to turn it over to you now, Karen, and you've got some information to share that everybody needs to hear.
Oh, thank you so much, Richard, and welcome, everybody. It is going to be an amazing program tonight. So I just want to give you a little bit of information that will be helpful. First of all, I have to tell you, this Truth and Liberty website keeps getting better and better. And many of you are watching on truthandliberty.net, but if you're watching on social media, that's awesome. But for the best experience, I want to encourage you to view this at truthandliberty.net. Also, there's a lot of great information out here. It's really dedicated to providing you with conservative news sources. And some of the updates that we have recently, one of them is a research on COVID and experimental injections. This is by Liberty Counsel. And many of you know, if this is posted on the traditional social media, it gets censored, but Truth and Liberty wants a truth out there. So go ahead and check out that article. Also, Richard, you have a podcast out there that is on socialism, and it's called Socialism is Ungodly. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight as well. But this is really, really timely, especially considering what is happening in Cuba right now. And then HR 5 is a dangerous attack on religious freedom and free speech. And this is so interesting, Trump versus big tech. And he said, if they can do it to me, they can do it to you. So check out those new articles. Also, I'm so impressed every time I look at this list. Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries has so many amazing events. And coming up on July 24th is Charis Day. My son went to Charis Bible College. I went to Charis Bible College. And if you are considering it and you want to learn more, please join us and register at awmi.net. Also, Healing is Here is coming on August 10th through the 13th. You can register there at awmi.net events. And we just see miracles. And what I love about this event is definitely it's receiving prayer, receiving healing, but it's also equipping you on how to receive healing yourself, right? And teach others. So make sure that you can be a part of that. And again, August 10th through the 13th. And we've got the Truth and Liberty Coalition Conference that is coming up on September 10th and 11th. You can register for that and you don't want to miss it. One of the fun things about Truth and Liberty is that we have a giveaway every week. And last week's winner is Daniel Seal. Daniel, congratulations. You will receive the Miraculous Milestones, which is signed by Andrew Womack himself personally. And this week we are giving away You've Already Got It, which is signed by Andrew. This is a classic. And if you've not read this or heard this teaching, I'm telling you, it's going to rock your world. It will really help you to understand what Jesus did. And to be eligible, you just want to subscribe at truthandliberty.net/subscribe. And if you are already part of the Truth and Liberty email list, you are already eligible for that drawing. And this is an interactive broadcast. I think it's so helpful to be able to ask questions, and we will answer as many of those as possible. So if you are watching on Truth and Liberty or on Andrew Womack Ministries website, go ahead and enter your questions in on the chat section. We've got a whole team that's standing by, and they're going to send those questions through. And like I mentioned, we'll answer as many as possible. And if you're watching on social media, go ahead and enter that question in on the comment section. And finally, we want to invite you and encourage you to become a member of Truth and Liberty. And to do that, you can go to truthandliberty.net/donate. Now, these donations are not tax deductible because it's a 501c4, and it gives us the ability to talk about the issues that we are discussing. But I'll tell you what, if you sow your seed into Truth and Liberty, you are going to reap an amazing harvest outside of it being tax deductible or not. So please consider becoming a member. Also, when we go through the topics that we do, a lot of times there's questions that come up, or we need prayer. Maybe there's something that we're hearing that we just need somebody to stand with us on. And so we've got the most amazing prayer line, prayer team that's available for you. So you can call 719-635-1111, and you can be connected to a prayer minister. So we're so excited to hear from Alex tonight. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Richard, for that introduction.
Well, thank you, Karen. Wow, you do such a better job than I do on that every week.
I don't know about that.
Oh, that was fantastic. Well, hey, I wanted to mention show you guys the product free giveaway this week is Andrew's book. You've already got it. So here it is. He's got a dog chasing his tail. That's because most Christians spend their lives begging God for what they need and want, not really realizing that God's not really moved by how many times we pray or how emotional we get when we pray. What moves the hand of God is faith, and you can't have faith unless you know that it's God's will for you to have it. And the truth is that He's already provided for all of our needs in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So it's a great book. It'll change your life. Subscribe today and be eligible for that. Well, I'm really excited now. I get the opportunity, the privilege to introduce my good friend Alex McFarland. Alex is an apologist, as I was said in the Facebook Live today. That doesn't mean he goes around apologizing. Rather, it means he defends the Christian faith, and he's an expert on the evidence and rational arguments that support Christianity. He's also an author. I don't even know how many books he's published. I'm sure it's dozens. He's an evangelist. He's preached in actually over 2,000 churches across America. That's more than Andrew Womack. That's amazing. He's a cultural analyst. He's appeared on Fox News and CNN and all of these television programs. Probably his greatest accomplishment ever, though, is that he teaches at Karis Bible College Practical Government School. I'm kidding, of course. But Alex is a great guy, and we're just so honored to have you with us tonight, Alex. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Richard, and thank you, Karen. And seriously, as a Christian and in ministry, the Lord's allowed me to be a part of a lot of things, but folks, I've never, ever been as excited about anything as what I see the Lord doing there in Woodland Park, Colorado, at Karis Bible College and through the Truth and Liberty broadcast and Andrew Womack Ministries. I mean, we hear a lot of bad news, and for real, there's a lot to be concerned about and a lot to pray about in this world. But God is doing a miraculous work on top of Pikes Peak. And I think about Karis is at such a high altitude there, and the work of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit is just flowing down across this continent. I truly believe that. Mm. And I'm so honored to be with you tonight and be a part of what Karis is all about.
Wow, praise God, Alex. That's an awesome endorsement. and it's all true. There was a famous song written from the top of Pikes Peak. Catherine Lee Bates wrote, America the Beautiful there. And there's a line in that song where we say, God shed his grace on thee. And so I agree with you. I don't think it's a coincidence that just a little bit away from the summit of Pikes Peak sits Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries, where the full grace message is preached and goes around the world. So it's an awesome thing. And Alex, you do more actually at Charis than teach in the Practical Government School. You, Andrew asked you to help, or actually to lead a project in creating a new product on biblical worldview. And I know that that's coming out in installments, and it's my understanding the first installment on human sexuality is already available. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Well, Andrew Womack, for those that don't know, he is one of the most insightful and I would just say wise Christian leaders that I've ever met. And we give God the glory, but Andrew is one of the most anointed, discerning Christian leaders of our lifetime. And he had the vision several years ago that the body of Christ needs to be educated and equipped on biblical worldview, because we're seeing all these issues in our lifetime, issues about sexuality and marriage and morality, homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion. And then the Bible. Is the Bible the timeless word of God, applicable to every generation? Or like the progressives would say, has the Bible been changed or something? So I was teaching, and Richard, you and I have taught together. And I'd like to say a word about the different third year concentrations like practical government and worship arts and the different things that you can learn at Charis if you or someone you care about decides to come to Charis. And you will learn the word of God, and you will get equipped for a lifetime of miraculous impact for the gospel. But a couple of years ago, Andrew and I began to talk about biblical worldview, and we've assembled speakers. Oh my goodness, it's like the all-star team. It's like the Super Bowl of Christian leaders. We did a unit on human sexuality. And we had, of course, Andrew is there, and people like Bob McEwen and Bishop E.W. Jackson, and many of the Charis faculty, Dwayne Sheriff and people like that. And in that unit, which has been released, and people literally around the world are getting this resource, all of this video teaching and outlines that I write that are dozens and dozens of pages of, you know, what is going on in the world. What can the church do to make an impact for God's perspective from the Bible? And how you really, I'm going to say this, guys, the Biblical Worldview series, whether it's human sexuality, a Christian response to socialism, a Christian response to racism, and more than 40 topics that we will release over the next several years, it will equip you to share your faith confidently in any situation. And so, like I say, awesome. I've never been more honored and more excited to be a part of a ministry endeavor, because we believe, well, we may very likely be near the return of Christ, but for as long as we live, we want to see people equipped to rise to the challenge of 1 Peter 3:15 and be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. And Charis and AWMI stands ready to come alongside you and equip you to stand strong for the gospel in every situation. Wow. That's what this Biblical Worldview series is about.
Well, Alex, that's awesome. Well, we're that first installment, I just want everybody to know, you can get that on the Truth and Liberty website. So just go to our resources page, and you can find a link where you can order that installment of Biblical Worldview. You can also go on Andrew Womack Ministries website, which is awmi.net, and you can find it there as well. So, but Alex, I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about your ministry. I think you've got some important events coming up, and maybe a new book or two that are coming out. You want to share some information with our viewers on that?
Sure. Well, thanks very much. And let's talk a little bit about revival too, because we need one. And yes, we've got a lot of churches in North America and a lot of Christians, but we're in the battle of our life in terms of darkness versus light. So guys, I was a youth pastor for 11 years, and I began to do a series of conferences on worldview and apologetics, not apologizing, but defending the faith, the evidence for Christianity. The conferences are called Truth for a New Generation. And we've done 47 of these over the last 23, 24 years. The next one of these is going to be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, on the East Coast. Myrtle Beach, many of the viewers probably have been there before. It's kind of where America goes on vacation. But October 15 through 17, we're going to be in Myrtle Beach with TNG, Truth for a New Generation. We're going to have speakers like Bishop E.W. Jackson, award-winning journalist Sandy Rios, Frank Turek, Dr. Frank Turek, more than a dozen speakers, October 15 through 17. And we're going to talk about defending that God exists. What about the woke movement? How can we respond to critical race theory? What about creation versus evolution? And so the website, you can just go to my own name, alexmcfarland.com, or you can go to truthforanewgeneration.com. But it's October 15 through 17, and Mike and Carrie Pickett will probably be there. They're looking at their schedule. But guys, let me talk for a minute about one of the problems that almost every church in the Western world is dealing with, and this is how to reach young people. At the TNG conference, Truth for a New Generation, all right, one of the cutting edge youth ministries in the nation is called Ground Zero. I've worked with them for 12 years. We've done many events together. They're going to be there, and on Saturday, October 16, if you come to the Truth for New Generation conference, Ground Zero, my dear friend Scott Paceauer and his amazing staff, they are winning middle school, teenagers, college kids, 20-somethings. They're winning them to Christ. They're giving them a biblical worldview. They are coming to Jesus and staying with the Word of God. And we're going to teach your church how you can do that too. Guys, I'm sure you hear so much about young people that they make a profession of faith and they fall away. Well, the Truth for a New Generation conference, October 15 through 17, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The theme is world views, the battles we must win. But a big concentration, and if you come during the workshop, the breakout sessions, we're going to train you wherever your church is. Ground Zero, Scott Paceauer, my staff, we're going to train you how to truly win young people to Christ, and they'll stay with the stuff. So that alone, I think, is worth coming for, because part of our assignment in every generation is to pass the faith on to the next group of runners. So one of the reasons I love Caris is I come up here and I see these hundreds of people of all ages, praise God, but I see so many young people. Karen and Richard, doesn't it thrill you when you're walking the halls of Caris and you see all people, but these young adults that are on fire for Jesus, they're learning the Word of God, and they're going to the very ends of the earth to take the name of Jesus. Doesn't that thrill your heart?
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. Well, my son just got back from Europe, where he spent 2 weeks walking the streets of Paris and Marseille and Toulouse, witnessing, sharing the gospel with Muslims, French people, just all over the place. And he wouldn't be there doing that if he hadn't gone through Caris Bible College. So, but anyway, I appreciate it. We're all kind of a fan club for Caris here, but let's dive into some of the substance here, in some of the headlines we're looking at today, Alex, if you don't mind. Right now, going on in Cuba, are protests where people are by the thousands taking the streets and protesting against the communist government of that nation. And it's really interesting because it's bringing to light one of the big questions that we're facing as a country. Are we going to go closer towards socialism and communism, or are we going to return to our roots of freedom and free enterprise? Isn't it interesting, Alex, some of the comments that have been coming out of some of the leftist leaders like Black Lives Matter and others, actually, endorsing the communist government of Cuba. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's really sad that, look, as Venezuela and Cuba and other nations that have been just almost irreparably damaged by Marxism, and they're doing all they can to get away from it and get out from under this failed ideology. Here in America, on public school campuses and in the halls of the liberal political leaders and in the journalism departments of schools and in pop media like CNN and MSNBC, this worldview, socialism, Marxism, communism, this worldview that has harmed so many millions of lives, and the countries that have suffered under socialism, they're doing their utmost to get away from it. And yet, in America, in our classrooms, halls of government, and newsrooms, they're promoting socialism. So I want to say, folks, do you know, when we were creating the socialism outlines and syllabus for the Caris Worldview content, A Christian Response to Socialism, and we brought in David Barton and Bill Federer, and brilliant, brilliant thinkers. Here's the thing. Socialist communes were attempted and abandoned 80 times in America by 1900. Places like New Harmony, Indiana, and the Brookstone Farm up in, I believe it was New Hampshire, and Zion, Illinois, and even in my home state of North Carolina, near Fayetteville, there was a socialist commune. And here's the thing, whenever socialism was attempted and the confiscation of what you earned, what you make is taken away and redistributed, and the socialism creates inequality. All right, at best, these 80 attempts at socialism resulted in disgruntled people that were angry with each other and they left with the shirt on their back and escaped. But at worst, there were molestations, homicides, violence. Here's the thing. I think about this, guys. Now that America is having a momentary infatuation with socialism. Look, if you toss a coin 80 times and 80 times it's heads, why do you think on the 81st time it's not going to be? Mm-hmm. We've tried socialism and abandoned it 80 previous times. For the love of humanity, let's not go down that road now. And I would say to young people, on first blush, socialism is presented as being benevolent and compassionate. It's not. Nowhere socialism has ever been implemented has the human condition been improved, only harmed. And I pray to God that we wake up before our moral Judeo-Christian representative republic is irrevocably harmed.
Well, Alex, can you just take just a minute and share with our viewers kind of what is socialism and is it really any different than communism?
Socialism is really communism light. And Karl Marx understood this. And Khrushchev and Lenin and the people that turned Russia just hard shell communists, they knew that the starting point, it seems kind of soft and benign at first, is socialism. But think about the word social, the collective rather than the individual. Socialism is a lot of things, but at its basis, it's the alleged good of the whole rather than any rights of the individual. Now, Marxism / socialism, if socialism is a philosophical and governmental system, Marxism is really an economic system. But both of them, while we're talking isms, ISM, there's an ism that undergirds socialism and Marxism, and that's secularism. No God. There is no God. That's why I'm always puzzled, Richard and Karen, whenever liberal Christians talk about, well, I'm a Christian socialist. Well, by definition, socialism slash Marxism rejects God because the God is the state, the collective. Now, what's interesting, hang with me, there was a philosopher some years ago named Martin Buber. And Martin Buber says, look, in everybody's life, there's going to be an ultimate thing. And he had kind of a big fancy phrase, the I-thou distinction. Here's my point. There's me and there's my God, my ultimate thing. Now, of course, the God that we hope will be your ultimate is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But even an atheist or a secularist who says, I'm too smart for that, I don't believe in God. Well, the state or somehow ushering in utopia, that becomes the God. And so in a socialist America, if we continue to slide down this precipice, there's not going to be freedom of religious expression. There's not going to be freedom of worship. There's not going to be the moral Christian America that for 240 years has been our bedrock. There's going to be a God, but it's the state. All right. So there's either the iron fist of socialism or there's the strong presence of the Judeo-Christian moral code and the Holy Spirit-filled body of Christian believers. So will we turn back from this? Richard and Karen, I believe in good education. I believe in good content. And even some non-Christian leaders are waking up and beginning to get a little alarmed. But there is one group and one group only that has the sufficient discernment and power to turn America back, and that's the body of born-again Christians.
Well, Alex, how are we going to do that as long as pastors aren't talking about it in the pulpit? How are Christians going to get equipped as long as pastors are refusing to get into culture issues and these kinds of things?
Well, you know, the stories are legendary about Germany just before the takeover of Adolf Hitler. And, you know, it's interesting, when Austrians voted 98% to 2 to favor Hitler, Hitler said how fortunate for leaders that the people by their own choice remain ignorant. And so, listen, I love the church, but I've got to say part of the problem of where we are pastors that really have their head in the sand. And I would say to all my pastor friends out there, and look, I've pastored, Richard, I know you've served in churches. Part of our job as shepherds of a local flock is, yes, to win the lost and equip the saved, but we are to be salt and light in the culture, and we are most certainly in a spiritual battle. Now, I thank God that I'm seeing fires of awakening in the lives of a lot of godly lay people. And occasionally I'll see pastors that get it. They understand that our neck is just about on the chopping block.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about this, guys.
I agree.
There is the alleged Equality Act. Now, listen to this, folks. 1993, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was championed, oddly enough, by Chuck Schumer, very influential liberal in Washington. All right, the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which I have on my computer right here. It's amazing, some of the wording in it. And it's like, sounds like something that Tony Perkins or David Barton would have written. But do you know the Equality Act right now that is just within It's very close to being passed. It specifically says that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 that protects speech about life and homosexuality, the Equality Act of 2021 says that one thing that's exempt from free speech is speech against homosexuality and transgenderism. Mm. So to the pastors that are unengaged, Richard, I would say, do you understand if we continue the track we're on towards political, economic socialism and spiritual, philosophical wokeness, pastors, if we continue on that track, you will not be able to preach the gospel.
Amen. Well, Alex, this is amazing. I want to transition to another subject. It's kind of along the same lines, though, but it's this idea called critical race theory. What is critical race theory? It's in the news everywhere. It sounds like, I'm against racism. I believe in critical race theory, like it's civil rights or something. But in actuality, it's something very different. Can you tell us what it is?
Well, critical race theory says this, and what I'm about to say, if you're unfamiliar with this worldview, what I'm about to say sounds crazy and over the top, but it isn't. Critical race theory says that all white people should be shamed for having been born white, says that all white people are inherently racist. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind in just a minute. White Americans, if you argue for the point of law and you say, hey, vandalism is wrong, smashing windows is wrong, we need to all follow the law. No, they would say, no, that's your white privilege. You're merely out of fear and hate. You're trying to protect your white privilege. Now, folks, you've got to understand, we are so in a near insanity. Guys, I had breakfast about 3 months ago with the head of a music department at a major East Coast university. And I want to protect this individual, but if I told you the name of it, everybody listening would know the name. This is a major state-supported school. The head of the music department is a born-again Christian. August of last year, when they had faculty orientation, the music department was told, you can't use the word sheet music. You know, the score with the music. And we've always said, okay, we're gonna perform this. Everybody get your sheet music. Don't say sheet music, because you know who wears sheets? The KKK, white supremacists. So students feel threatened if you say sheet music.
Oh my God.
And don't, you know, correction fluid? Don't say white out, because white is a bad word.
That's insane.
Go in a store and try to find white out. Little by little, it's been called correction fluid. One other thing, in this particular music department of this state-supported school, this earned PhD from Missouri State, but he's on the East Coast leading a department. They were told, don't tell your violinists they have to tune their instruments. And we have a tuning fork, A, 440 cycles per second. That's European. That's male patriarchy. So okay. Students, who are you to say you have to tune the instruments? Now, here's my point. We've lost our mind.
Yes. Well, is critical race theory tied in somehow to Marxism and socialism? Alex, who's behind this, actually?
Well, let me explain, not necessarily in terms of pure Marxism, because only the state is God. And let me say, a socialist regime is an equal opportunity oppressor. And I would say to Kamala Harris and the squad and Don Lemon of CNN, look, you think you're ushering in utopia when socialism, if it becomes the state regime, anyone who goes against the state has the likelihood of being thrown in a gulag. But let me tell you where critical race theory comes in to America right now. There is the, just like the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 that paved the way for communism in formerly Christian Russia. And Russia, I'm old enough, I remember in the 70s, we studied the USSR. It wasn't Russia, it was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Here's the thing, just like the playbook of Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, which former President Barack Obama said was his favorite book. Rules for Radicals says you to disrupt the existing order, you have to create disorder. And then when there's a sufficient degree of disorder, the people are vulnerable, you can introduce new order. So where they want critical race theory now and impressionable young people that feel hopelessness anyway, They are fomented into rage and windows are smashed and there's riots in Detroit and Philadelphia and Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland, California. What critical race theory is, and I'm being very frank, but listen, I can promise you the people that want America to fall to socialism, they don't care about anybody's rights or race. What they're trying to do, critical race theory is useful to them.
Well, I thought I read somewhere that the idea actually arose out of the Marxist school in Germany somewhere. The idea of, you know, and that in actuality the Marxists were frustrated about America because the free enterprise in this country has been so successful and produced such equality, actually, yeah, that the idea of socialism doesn't appeal to the middle class. So they needed some other wedge, some other way that they might be able to pit class against class, and race was the flavor of the day. But is that true, or what do you know about
that? Yeah, it's absolutely true. Because, look, the things that made America impervious to socialism and communism, one, our moral foundation, the family, then the church, but also capitalism. See, you can come here poor. I mean, think about it, guys. 26 years ago, Angie and I had $58 and the shirt on our back. Mm-hmm. And in 26 years, by the grace of God, run several successful businesses, successful ministries, and haven't had a car payment in over two decades. And it's the Lord. Look, if you work hard, say your prayers, tithe, and live for Jesus, He will bless you.
Yeah, amen.
But I want to say this, why would anybody want socialism when you can become something in a free market economy? Look, that's why the liberals, they want the welfare state. This is so sad. And look, we care about people. We're compassionate. Just like I was a poor, I mean, we were dirt poor. I'm not just saying this, Richard. Growing up in the rural South, we had a car that the floorboards were rusted out and it smelled like exhaust. And I didn't like to go to Sunday school because the children made fun of me because my sister and I smelled like exhaust from the car. I know what poverty is. I really honestly do. Mm-hmm. But in America, you can work hard, say your prayers, live right, trust God, and the Lord will raise you up. Mm-hmm. And so they've had to do something to make socialism appealing or palatable, and that's part of their MO, tear down a capitalistic society where people can prosper.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If I could ask a quick question too, this critical race theory is being taught to children and there's such a press for it to go into our schools. And really when you look at history and you see how the left, the enemy, went after children in education, it just seems like here we are again. The Bible was removed and we didn't really catch it. It just kind of slipped through. And now this critical race theory being introduced to cause division in our society, which of course the enemy's always after division. So as a parent, as a grandparent, what can we do, what should we do to help stand against this?
Great question. Great question. Well, for one, and I'm sure everybody knows this, but we really need to pray. We really need to pray. And moms and dads, I would beg of you to take a long, hard look at your children's educational options. And what I'm about to say, I'm only speaking for Alex here, and everybody search this out for yourself. But I've got to say, I just don't know that Christian parents can let the souls of their kids be destroyed by public schools. And you pray about it, and maybe there's a Christian school or a private school, or maybe there's homeschooling. And when it comes to college, send them to Caris, not the state university. Guys, and I don't mean to talk about myself, but I have spoken or debated at more than 200 American universities, the vast majority of those secular universities. And I can promise you, and I know there are some Christians in public education, and they're valiantly trying to stand strong, and I applaud that. But I can promise you that unless you send your child to a solidly Christian school and Christian university, they will be taught to hate America. They'll be taught homosexuality, transgenderism, critical race theory. And so I would beg, like we said a few minutes ago, I would beg the preachers to preach, but I would beg the parents to understand, second only to the care of your own soul, is the nurturing of your children's mind and soul, and get your kids out of public schools. I'm only speaking for Alex here.
Alex, this is awesome, and of course that's your opinion, and we could talk about all this stuff, but I bet we've got some questions coming in. And Karen, how do we have some good questions?
We've got some great questions. Can I just add one more thing?
Of course.
The truth of it, too, is not only are parents sending their children to basically be taught to hate America, hate their Christian roots, but parents are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to do so. Mm-hmm. And if you just look at that and just say, oh my goodness, that is a huge investment that parents are making, wanting to get a good education for their children, but the reality of what they're being taught, I just feel like it's kind of a wake-up call for us to look at what we're investing in to send our children and grandchildren into those environments. So as a mom and a grandma, I just had to add that in there.
Absolutely.
All right, we've got some great questions. And just continuing on this critical race theory topic, this is Tommy and he's on chat. He says this, how does critical race theory explain interracial marriages? I know several couples. How can anyone say they're prejudiced when they are married to someone of a different race?
Well, in reality, they can't legitimately say that. But do you know, I was on a debate of a couple of black leaders, and they were talking about my racism. And I said, well, you know what? Just before COVID, the final conference that we did in Fayetteville, North Carolina, we raised about 3,200 pounds of food for a local food pantry. And 99% of the people who are served by this food kitchen are inner city, you know, black Americans. And I said, we didn't do it for any fanfare. We said, hey, the price of admission is a non-perishable food item, 3,200 pounds of food that we gave to a food kitchen. And that doesn't matter. You have to understand, for the person, you know, there's an old saying, to a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. When these social architects are bent that, for one thing, they wrongly assume a socialist utopia is better than a free market economy. But you've got to understand, in the lives, and even some black pastors who I love, but there's this desire for retribution against America. I'm just going to say this, and this is, I think ingratitude is a sin. It's a sin to have the blessings of God and to not be thankful. And among a lot of Black Democrat leaders, they hate America. Now, I am sorry that slavery was part of our founding, but what other nation in history, name a nation anywhere, that fought an internal civil war with itself to get slavery ended? And look, the first paragraph of our founding document says that all humans are created equal. Now, one last thing. In 1805, Thomas Jefferson, as he began his second presidential term, and keep in mind, this would have been only about 16 years after the ratification of the U.S. Constitution in 1789, but Jefferson said, America will no longer enter treaties with any slave trading nations. Hmm. So what I have to say is a lot of these activist leaders, the pro-CRT people, Black Democrats, and even some Black pastors, they've got this simmering hatred of America, and it's like, I just want to inflict some damage.
I'm seeing a lot of Black leaders as well, Alex, those on the other side, standing up, like the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, like Congressman Amen. Byron Donalds of Florida. You mentioned E.W. Jackson, and there are many others, too.
Mary so Eldred.
I think, you know, a light bulb went off in my mind a couple of years ago, and I just blurted something out. I said, envy is the lifeblood of the Democratic Party. When you think about it, everything that the Democratic Party stands for and pushes is rooted in a spirit of envy, you know, where that you're oppressed, you're a victim. It's a patchwork of allegedly victimized groups, and they're not taught hey, there's equal opportunity in America. There's great opportunity here. It's the land of the free. You can do what you want. You can achieve great heights. No, they're taught this group over here, it ought to be punished, or you ought to confiscate their wealth. And, you know, it's the wicked 1%. It's the white people. It's the Protestants or whatever the case may be. And it's that mindset that we have to fight against, I think. I don't know. I throw that out there as part of the discussion. What do you think about that?
Well, you mentioned like Bishop Jackson and the man from my home state that's now Lieutenant Governor, that there are a lot of great people courageously speaking truth. But you're right, envy, class envy. And let me say, there's this other presupposition that's very false. It's called a finite pie mentality.
Yes.
That the amount of wealth in a culture is limited, is this assumption. And if you have a dollar in your pocket, conversely, somebody else doesn't have a dollar in their pocket. And that's not how wealth works at all. You know, Smith that wrote The Wealth of Nations, I'm trying to think of his first name.
Adam Smith.
Adam Smith. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Mm-hmm. Adam Smith talks about this invisible hand that seems to guide economies, and how there's really to be earned, to be created, there's an infinite, unlimited amount of wealth. If you have food on your table, it doesn't mean that conversely, necessarily, somebody else on the other side of the world went hungry.
That's right.
But see, the Democrat Party, like you said, Richard, they trade on this thing of envy. And to people, especially young people, that they've not really thought things through, and they hear rhetoric and they'll say, well, you know what, look over here, the heads of all the Fortune 500 companies, they're billionaires, and because of that, people in the inner city are going hungry. Mm-hmm. And people who really don't know any better say, oh yeah. Now, the good news is, look, we all want people to have food on the table. We all want people to have a roof over their head. We want everybody to have a good education. And William J. Bennett, who was Secretary of Education under Reagan, he said regarding education, the purpose of education is so that you can learn to read and think and ultimately find God. Mm-hmm. Education exists to expand your mind and save your soul, mm-hmm. said Bennett, and that's true. So we want everybody educated, but the way to salvation and prosperity is not through communism or socialism. Right. It's through what we had, a principled representative republic where everybody has opportunity.
That's right. Equal rights under the law and individual responsibility. Well, Karen, we've got time to, I think, maybe squeeze in two more questions, maybe three if we go fast.
Great. All right, so this education is really striking a chord with our audience tonight. And so I've got two questions that are very similar. One's from Melissa on Facebook, and the other is from Stacia, who's on YouTube. And the question is, and this is a great question, what other options are there out there for education? She just noted that Christian schools are too expensive for most of us. And then as a follow-up with Stacia, she's wondering, have you heard of any homeschooling neighborhood groups that can take the place of public school education?
Oh, yes. Homeschool co-ops are doing so well, and they are really growing. And do you know what? Out of Cincinnati, there's a very wonderful convention that happens every year called Great Homeschool Conventions. You ought to familiarize yourself with it. Great homeschool conventions, and I've spoken for them, and I mean, they have thousands of people that come. Also, there's classical education, and a lot of the classical education co-ops where families get together, and yes, I mean, there's online education, and it's very affordable for families. And I know it's kind of like double jeopardy. You pay taxes, plus you have to spend money for your kids to get educated. But look into classical education, homeschool co-ops, and online education. And, you know, I think one of the great principles we need to impart to our youth is the principle of stewardship. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says that we're not our own, we're bought with a price. And one of the areas of stewardship that we must all attend to is the stewardship of the mind. That's why I want the whole wide world to come to Caris. And to everybody, you know, you may have been a Christian for decades, praise God. Maybe you've pastored or been a church leader, come to Caris. Angie and I had been Christians for 30 years, and Andrew Womack Ministries and his content has radically taken our Christian walk to the next level. Wow. Caris will do that for each and every one of you.
Praise God. That's awesome.
Amen. That's awesome. Okay, I'm going to go through these quickly. We have some great questions. This is from Lisa on YouTube, and then also I'm going to include France Lane, who's watching on YouTube. It's a similar subject. Both of these have to do with abortion. Lisa is asking, since the tax dollars were kind of being forced to fund abortion through our present administration, should we not pay taxes? And France Lane is saying, she's watching an interview and they're talking about a bank that sponsors abortion. What can we do to avoid funding abortion without our will? Because it's looking like a trap.
God bless you. You know, this one of the questions that Christian ethicists have to deal with is a question of civil disobedience. And by the way, I want to recommend a really good book by a guy named Robertson McQuilkin, McQuilkinson. Robertson McQuilkinson. He wrote a book simply called Christian Ethics, published by Tyndale. But here's the thing. I'm not saying you should not pay taxes, because while it is unfortunate, listen carefully, it is unfortunate that much of our tax dollars are used for immoral things, we still do have some recourse. We can write letters to our representatives. We can run for office ourselves, and we can sign petitions, and we can stay tuned to Truth and Liberty or Family Research Council with Tony Perkins, or you can follow the Radiance Foundation with Ryan Bomberger. It's amazing pro-life ministry. So Richard, and you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here, but while a lot of our tax revenue does go for ungodly things, we still do have recourse in terms of our vote and our voice. Now, most Christian ethics experts, and I know Dr. Geisler, Norm Geisler, he's in heaven now, but he would say civil disobedience is not really justified until we have no other recourse. And I know it's a hard road we're on right now, Christians, patriots. But we do have recourse with a vote and a voice, don't we, Richard?
Yes, well, we do. And, you know, America's probably not as evil as the Roman Empire. And Jesus instructed people to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So now, if the government issues an order or a law and orders you to do something yourself that contravenes the Word of God or that is against the law of God, then you should disobey that law. We must obey God rather than man. But withholding taxes, I don't think, is generally going to be a biblical response. So I agree with you, Alex, on that. Well, we've got time maybe for one more question tonight. So,
okay, great. This is coming in from a guest, and the question is, some high-profile Christian organizations have caved to leftist agendas. How can Christians stand strong against pressure to conform to secular ideologies?
Great.
Great question. You know, and I think not only overtly Christian organizations and many Christian schools, but even organizations that we once could depend on, like the Boy Scouts. I was a Boy Scout, and they've become woke. In my home state, a formerly Christian college just announced they've got a course on defund the police and Black Lives Matter. So, you know, I think we have to pray. And let me remind everybody, in the heat of the battle, we've got to stay civil. And the word really is dispassionate. We can't become shrill and angry. We have to be logical, empathetic, prayerful. But I think when it comes down to ministries and even denominations, we have to speak with the only language many of them recognize, and that's our financial support.
Well, Alex, I hate to interrupt you, brother, but we're out of time tonight. And this has been so rich. I'd like to keep going for another couple hours. It would be awesome. I want to remind everybody to check out Alex's resources on his website, alexmcfarland.com. Order Biblical Worldview today. There's a link on truthandliberty.net. And also, I didn't mention, Karen has her own ministry, KarenConradHome.com. Did I get it right?
KarenConrad.net.
KarenConrad.net.
Well, thank you. That's so sweet.
Yeah, anyway, it's been a great show, and just really appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. And remember to support Truth and Liberty. Become a member today, and you'll get a free copy of Alex's book. What's it called? America?
Assault on America.
All right, Assault on America. Well, that's all we've got for tonight. We'll see you guys next week on truthandliberty.net, 6 p.m. Mountain Time on Monday for our next show. God bless you.
God bless you.
There is a time for us to stand up. And I'm saying that it is time for the body of Christ to rise up and get out of the four walls of a church.
One of the responsibilities of the church and Christians is to destroy the works of the devil wherever we find them.
The real love, the real peace, the real joy doesn't come by being triggered by everything, but by being vertically connected to the Creator of the universe and having His life flow through you.
Father, I just believe that this is helping wake the church up. And I thank you that as each one of us goes out and does our part, that Father, this is going to make a difference.
Join us next time for the Truth and Liberty broadcast.
Find tonight's episode and related articles and links at truthandliberty.net. Truth and Liberty is viewer supported. If you'd like to help us continue our live casts, you can make a donation at truthandliberty.net.